Okay, so Acts chapter 9, verse 32 to the end of the chapter. As Peter travelled about the country, he went to visit the saints in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and tidy up your mat." Immediately Aeneas got up. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which, when translated, is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. Her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying, and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out the room. Then he got up, down on his knees, and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called the believers and the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon.
Well, hopefully you've enjoyed having a quick look at that passage. We'll refer to some of the things probably that you've discussed as we go through this passage. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for God's help. Father God, thank you for your word and for the power that it contains to encourage, challenge, and change. Please help us to understand what it is saying to us tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. Do keep that passage open. In front of you, it would be really helpful for me. Just before Christmas, Becky and I were fortunate enough to go and watch the musical We Will Rock You down in London. Hands up if you've seen We Will Rock You. Great, about five people. It's a made-up story, but it uses songs from the band Queen. And I don't know if you know anything about it. If you have seen it, do come and tell me if you agree with my four-word review of it. I've brought it down to four words, and that is rubbish story, great songs. Rubbish story, great songs. The story's terrible. But Queen wrote some brilliant songs, and I would love to see them live. And up until about a year ago, I could have seen them live. I could have gone to see them on their world tour. But they weren't the same band, of course, that wrote all those great songs. Freddie Mercury died in 1991. And Paul Rodgers, many years later, had taken his place. And I'm sure for real Queen fans, it just wouldn't have been the same. It's always a bit disheartening, isn't it, when the main person in a band or the main character in a drama series or the main presenter of a show disappears and is replaced by someone. They might be replaced, they might be other characters, but it's never the same. You might remember when Terry Wogan left his Radio 2 show and was replaced by Chris Evans, and apparently lots of listeners weren't very happy and were deeply traumatised. Their mornings would never be the same again. We're at the start of a short series at Sunday at 6, looking at these three chapters in Acts, chapters 9 to 11. And by the start of Acts, Jesus has returned to heaven, what we call the ascension. The disciples, who are now called the apostles, have been left with a mission to spread the gospel around the world. We're into a new chapter, a new story, a new part of the story, maybe a whole new show. And you could look at what happens in Acts and think that Jesus isn't in it anymore. The show's moved on from the stuff about him. There are new characters like Peter and Paul that are in the limelight. They're centre stage. When I used to teach New Testament at A level, all the pupils thought that the Gospels were about Jesus and Acts was about the early church and the early church leaders. That was roughly how they would summarise it. But as we look at this passage tonight, we're going to see that everything in Acts, everything that happens, everything the apostles do, points to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord of history, the King over all, is very much present in everything that happens. It's not as simple as saying that the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, are about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. And Jesus is certainly standing in the midst of this passage in Acts chapter 9. If you have a look back at verse 31, you'll see that the church was enjoying a time of peace. It was a period where they weren't facing persecution. And Peter the Apostle has taken the opportunity to travel around the region. Hopefully I can get a map. These are the places he visited. You've got Lydda that is Joppa. It's now known as Jaffa, by the coast. And as you may have noticed in your discussions, there are quite a lot of similarities between these two miracles. And so what we're going to do is to work through these miracles at the same time. And we're going to see three things. And this is the first one. We're going to see lives that glorify Jesus. It's the first thing. Lives that glorify Jesus. We can see Jesus is changing work through the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who follow him. There's Peter himself, who is traveling around the country telling people about Jesus. Is that surprising? Well, Peter, remember, was the one who had denied that he even knew Jesus when he was challenged by the servant girl in the high priest's courtyard. You can read about it in Mark chapter 14. And he's making it his mission now to go around and tell people about Jesus. And not just that, but he goes to visit the Lord's people in Lydda, presumably to encourage them, to teach them, to equip them, just as Jesus had commanded. And so clearly there are also groups of Christians, early churches, dotted around the place. Luke, the author of Acts, describes them as the Lord's people and as disciples, followers of Jesus. But the big example of a life that glorifies Jesus, and you might have spotted this, is this woman, Tabitha. Have a look at verse 36, to the way that Luke, the author of Acts, describes her. Verse 36. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. In Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. What does Luke describe Tabitha as? A disciple who did good and helped the poor. Well, surely it's because that's what people knew her for in Joppa. And I think Luke puts this here as an example and as a challenge. Tabitha is a disciple, a follower of Jesus, and she was known for always doing good. That is how others would have described her. What a wonderful way to be described. In fact, she was so notable for doing good that when she died, she was terribly missed. The disciples, the members of the church in Joppa, beg Peter to come to see if he can do anything. And look at verse 39. Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas, Tabitha, had made while she was still with them. They were in tears, deeply upset, as they showed Peter the clothes she'd made. Maybe they were wearing the clothes. It's a very emotional scene. It's heartbreaking loss. We know that she's going to be raised from the dead, but for them it's a terrible, terrible situation. And Tabitha seems to have had a particular ministry to widows. And in the Bible, widows are used as an example of people who are in need. In ancient time, the income would have come through the man. So if you were a widow, then often you would be financially needy. You'd be poor. In his letter, James says this. He says, "A religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." James says that the lives and actions of Christians should reflect their faith and their beliefs and the fact that they have been saved. It's no good just believing it. There should be a natural outpouring of love and compassion to those around us, just as God has loved us. Lives that glorify Jesus, as Tabitha's did. My granddad died last summer, and I was with my grandmother on Wednesday, and she is missing him terribly. She's very lonely. She's also in lots of practical need. But her Christian friends have been brilliant to her. My parents' neighbour is also a widow and a Christian. And over Christmas, she had the flu. And every day that we were there, we saw people coming in from her church, coming to visit her, bringing her food, checking she was okay, spending time with her, praying with her. Tabitha clearly had an impact on those around her in the church at Joppa. I was watching a sitcom a few weeks ago, and the premise of it was that the main character was worried, had been to a funeral, and she'd heard a eulogy from someone there about the person that had died, someone saying very nice things about them. And she started to get really worried about what people would say at her funeral. What people would say. Would people even come to her funeral? Would people miss her at all? And for the rest of the episode, she tries to do good with funny results. Tabitha was a disciple. She was a Christian. If she hadn't been raised from the dead, she would have gone to be with the Lord Jesus, which would have been wonderful for her. The real loss and devastation of her death is not to her, but to those around her that had been so impacted by the way that she had lived her life. So Tabitha is a great example of someone whose life glorified Jesus, who radiated what it meant to be a Christian, who showed great love and compassion to those around her, as Christ had loved her. I know that there are Tabithas in Christchurch, and I praise God for them. We all know who they are. They make such an impact. But what a challenge to all of us to be more like she was, as she was like Jesus. But Tabitha in verse 36 has died. And even before Peter is confronted by that, he's encountered sickness and disease in another disciple, Aeneas. Let me read from verse 33. Do look down. Peter found a man named Aeneas who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. Immediately, Aeneas got up. And we're so used to reading stories like this in the Gospels and in Acts that sometimes we lose the wonder of what has just happened. Aeneas had been bedridden for 8 years. He'd been paralyzed. This wasn't a cold. This wasn't a broken leg. Just take a moment to think back 8 years to what you were doing, where you were, and then everything you've done since then in those 8 years. 8 years, and Aeneas had been paralyzed and not left his bed. And Peter heals him in a moment. Well, I guess you could say that Peter heals him, but actually, Peter himself points to someone else. Have a look again at verse 34. Aeneas, Peter said to him, Jesus Christ heals you. And this is our second point. The power of Jesus. Peter knows that it is Jesus who is doing the healing. Jesus is stamped all over this story. His power, his name. Peter is the agent that Jesus works through. And Peter then gets called by the disciples at Joppa to come at once because Tabitha has died. And Peter goes upstairs to where the body is and sends all of the widows who are crying out of the room. And then Peter does what? He prays. He doesn't just heal her. He prays that God would heal her. Remember, Peter himself must have told Luke that he had prayed. He was the only one in the room who would know that. So Peter was humbly shifting the glory from himself and onto God. Jesus is working through Peter again. And in fact, there are clear similarities between these two miracles that Peter does and some of the miracles that Jesus did. I don't know if you came up with any of these in your groups. But in Luke 5, Jesus heals a paralyzed man and he tells him to get up and roll up his mat, just like Peter. And in Luke 8, I'm just going to put Luke 8 up there. In Luke 8, Jesus heals Jairus' daughter. And you'll notice some similarities, but in fact, the words that Jesus uses in Aramaic are almost identical to the words that Peter uses in this passage when he heals them. These are the two ones, Talitha Kum and Tabitha Kum. I'll leave you to work out whether that's a coincidence or not. But I think that Peter is pointing back to Jesus. The miracles that happen through Peter to Aeneas and Tabitha, it isn't just about them being healed. It's worth remembering that Peter didn't heal everyone he met. Nowhere else is he recorded as raising people from the dead. The miracles happen for a reason, and they point to something. They point to Jesus and his power. Jesus Christ heals you, says Peter. And then the raising of Tabitha from the dead may also point to the work that Jesus does in us. His resurrecting power, bringing us from death to life and giving us eternal life. And they also mark Peter out as an apostle. In 2 Corinthians, Paul says that signs and wonders and miracles are marks of a genuine apostle. Maybe that's one of the reasons why Peter has been given this power. In the next chapter, and we'll see this next week, Peter is going to receive a vision that will change the course of the Christian mission. Peter will see that the gospel is for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And these miracles, these supernatural events, they validate that. Peter is going to see and say about the salvation that Jesus brings. And that's the final thing we're going to see in this passage. The salvation that Jesus brings. The salvation of Jesus. Imagine if you'd just seen these wonderful miracles. I wonder what you would do. Well, you might expect people to come and be healed, to queue up and say, "Hi, Peter, I've got a bad back." But actually, the response that Luke describes, the one that he focuses on, is that people turned to the Lord. Have a look at verse 35. All those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. And then verse 42, this became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. No doubt Peter took this opportunity to preach the gospel to those who had gathered after hearing these miracles. Word would have spread quickly. Lots of people would have travelled into and crowded around to see the newly healed Aeneas or the newly raised Tabitha. Wouldn't you do that? But Peter would have pointed the crowd to Jesus Christ, in whose power he had done those miracles. This is what Peter later wrote in one of his letters. He wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I'm sure he would have said something along those lines. The power of the gospel of Jesus Christ to save people and bring them back to work, bring them back to God, is at work in Lydda and Sharon and Joppa. And there's also a minor detail at the end of the passage. I don't know if you switched off at this point. I often switch off at this point. But verse 43, where it says, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner named Simon. So, well, tanners are people lots of you will know this, but tanners are people that make leather from the skins of animals. And for the Jews, it is one of the worst jobs you could do. Think traffic warden and then think, lower. It was unclean because you had to work with the dead bodies of animals. And a tannery, the place where they made leather, was so disgusting and it smelt so bad that there was a Jewish law that said they had to be a minimum distance away from the city walls. And in fact, if you were engaged to a nice young man, and then you found out that he was a tanner, then you were allowed to break it off legally. Tanners were not good in the eyes of Jews. They were unclean. And yet, here is Peter staying in the home of a tanner called Simon. It was scandalous. But Peter and the other followers of Jesus were beginning to realize, and we'll see more of this over the coming weeks, that the gospel is for everyone. Everyone needs the salvation that Jesus offers. And the story of Acts is a story of more and more people responding to Jesus. The gospel of Jesus Christ going out to the ends of the earth as Jesus had commanded. People having their eyes opened to the salvation that Jesus brings. And then living lives that glorify Jesus. And at the heart of it all is Jesus Christ. We're Christians. We call ourselves Christians. Other people call us Christians. Our faith is called Christianity. It might give us a clue that Jesus Christ should be at the centre of what we believe, trust, teach and proclaim. Unfortunately, some people seem to have forgotten that fact. I once took a school trip to Canterbury Cathedral. If you've never been there, it's a very impressive building. It's a fascinating history. It's worth going to see. And our tour guide spent 2 hours taking us around every part of it, giving us loads of really interesting information. We learned about its 5 martyred archbishops. We learned about the building of this crypt in the 12th century, the largest of its kind in England. I can't actually remember all this. I looked up Wikipedia the other day. We learned in great depth about the murder of Thomas Becket by some of Henry II's knights. The kids learnt loads. But in those 2 hours, there was one name that was not mentioned. One name, 2 hours, and it wasn't mentioned. The name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Lord of history, the King over all. He's at the centre of these miracle stories. Let's live lives that are centred around him, that worship him, that proclaim him, that live for him. Jesus Christ at the centre. I'm going to pray for us as we close. Father, please help us over the next weeks and months to honour the Lord Jesus with our lives. Please help us to centre our lives around him. Help us to recognise his power, his salvation, and his rightful position as Lord of our lives and Lord of this world. In his name we pray. Amen.